Indeed. I'm told by our people in the gallery that I'm joined by Mr. E. Michael Jones, editor of Culture Wars online magazine, joining us via Skype from Indiana. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Jones, I presume that you heard Mr. Rouhani's first ever address to the UN General Assembly. What was your impression of the speech? What was the tone of the speech, do you think?
Well, I thought it was firm at the beginning. I didn't know what to expect in that regard, whether it was going to be more conciliatory than firm. But I think he stated the case that the world is pretty much sick of these so-called hypocritical humanitarian interventions that cause all sorts of death throughout the world and are really just an excuse for imperial expansion. So he dealt with that firmly. And I think also importantly, he talked about these warmongering pressure groups. This is the crucial issue in America right now. The Israel lobby dominates our government. It dominates our foreign policy, and this is not the will of the American people. So by pointing, he didn't mention the Israel lobby, but I think it's pretty clear who these warmongering pressure groups are. By pointing that out, he opened up a front, an internal front in the United States, whereby the people can, who are tired of war, can start addressing the issue by naming who's responsible for it. And then after that, he proposed what I think is the right solution. It's a spiritual solution. He's calling for all the world's religions to work for peace. I think we saw the effect of that just this past week when the Pope responded to the world situation, to what looked like a beginning of another world war in Syria. It could have happened that way. And then I'd have to say miraculously over that weekend, the whole situation got diffused. I think that was a spiritual event that's worth taking note of, and I think he built on that by calling for further work in that direction.
All right, let's break down Mr. Rouhani's speech into different parts. I mean, let's talk about the better ties which Obama proposed for Iran. Many say that he spoke positive about Iran this time around. I mean, but the fact that you mentioned that the Congress of America is mainly dominated by Israeli lobbies, just how can better ties with Iran be brokered if with the presence of these lobbies?
It's going to be difficult. But I think that Obama has had more distance from the Israel lobby than any president in recent memory. He has deliberately and forthrightly resisted the pressure of Benjamin Netanyahu to attack Iran. He sent Dempsey over there, and I think basically what happened is that Syria became the proxy battle that in preparation for Iran. And now that's over. And I think he's looking for a way out of this problem. I think he understands the American people don't want war. I think that over that same weekend that I talked about, when Curry sort of offhandedly proposed this thing and Russia took up Curry's proposal about chemical weapons, that Obama started off by talking about war in his speech and he ended up deferring to the Russians. So I think they provided him a way out. I think Obama's looking for a way out because he knows that the Israel lobby is not in his interest. He's been fighting against it in his way for his entire administration. So this may provide an opening to deal with that problem.
Of course, let's refer to the sanctions imposed on Iran by the West. I mean, because sanctions is the main issue on the minds of Iranians, the Iranian people. How can that issue be solved? Because, I mean, as we mentioned earlier, Obama had a positive tone. Okay, better ties with Iran. But the thing is that people are waiting for more actions rather than words.
I think the action is going to come from Europe. The European Union court has declared the sanctions illegal. I think that once one group breaks with the sanctions, they all collapse, and it doesn't really matter whether the United States Congress, everyone's going to vote on it or not. If the European Union pulls out, then the sanctions are going to collapse because they will be the first ones to rush in and start making money here again. And America is nothing if not a commercial empire. And if they see other people are making money and they're not, they will abandon the sanctions.
All right, can just stand by there, Mr. Jones. Mr. Godpira, Mr. Jones there pointed to the fact that Europe might start this breaking off the sanctions, a domino effect, as he mentioned there. How do you see it?
Well, it is heading in that direction. One European court did make a ruling that, that some of the sanctions were illegal. So it is a beginning. And I think he's correct when he says if one breaks, then suddenly, you know, and like I say, if these U.S. corporations see that European companies and others are Japanese and are making money in Iran through investments in Iran, then they also might become.
So do you think Europe does have the boldness to start this off?
Well, maybe that's not 100% certain that they'll do it, but they began some things with this recent court ruling that said that some of the sanctions were illegal on some entities. So it is a beginning to start with now, like how they will proceed, and well, the future is, you know, to see. But it looks like they're going in that direction, and perhaps then the world will follow. There's a possibility of that, I think.
Right. Let me put this question. Many have asked this question, what have been the costs and benefits of breaking bridges with Iran for the West?
Well, for the West, I mean, they got some benefit, and they kind of demonized Iran and isolated Iran, also somewhat weakened the economy, although there was still oil trade. But the fact that it isn't as integrated into the international trade and international community as it could be, that caused some problems for the economy. And where they lose out is that they seem to be isolating a country. Some other Islamic countries and Islamic people might say, oh, they're isolating an Islamic country. Companies and businesses lost out that they could have been investing. And some other companies from, say, China and other countries came, and they got those investment opportunities that some companies based in the U.S. could have obtained. And also the fact that there's almost no tourism and interaction. I think on a like kind of a social cultural level, there's a loss. So we wouldn't maybe see that as a kind of like political, governmental, or some kind of thing. But that also happens. There's not enough contact between people coming from North America or the USA. There's not so many tourists coming to here in Iran, and almost none going to there. So this kind of cutoff of contact between peoples, you know, it creates, you know, there's this social cultural effect. There's no cultural or limited cultural interaction, so people don't know each other, limited social interaction, so that has a social effect too. So that's one of the losses for the Western world in general.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, what do you think? How advantageous or disadvantageous has this breaking of ties with Iran been? I mean, you came to Iran about a year ago. We met up with each other. How did you see it? How do you see this wave?
Well, first of all, the advantages are all for Israel here. Israel wants to isolate Iran because Iran is the only threat to Israel's entire hegemony over the entire Middle East. And I think that what we're seeing now is a sense that maybe stability in Iran is not such a bad idea, given the chaos that everything is descending to. I think a crucial turning point came when John Kerry became Secretary of State, and he realized, or he basically decided, that we're not going to give heavy weapons to the Takfiri in Syria because they're going to use them against Israel. At a certain point, this whole policy of spreading anarchy in the Middle East, I think it was seen as being counterproductive. Now, that's the main issue. So what we have is a movie like Argo, produced by Jewish Hollywood, to inflame American public opinion against Iran for Israel's interests. So what we need to do is break this lock that the Israel lobby and Hollywood have over the United States public mind. And I think that's the big thing that I saw when I was in Tehran, that there's a worldwide movement now that is tired of this Jewish hegemony over world culture and is looking for some type of better solution, multipolar, something that respects the ethnic and religious sensibilities of all the people throughout the world and doesn't try to impose this kind of tyranny on everyone.
Now, governments aside, what do you think the people in America, I mean the public opinion in America, what do they think about Iran? How would they like to have relations with Iran?
Well, right now they're filled with fear. I mean, I was just at a conference with my wife, and a lady leans over to my wife and says to her, well, weren't you afraid when your husband went to Iran? I mean, this is typical. This is a lady who's very sympathetic to what I'm saying. And like the article I wrote,